God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message on the story. Isn't it exciting how God's writing the story of our lives every single day? He knows the future. He has brought us through the past. But today we're going to dive into the opportunity of seeing how we have some responsibilities in living out the story God has written for us. You know, as we dive in, Dr. Wilton wants me to remind you, we stand ready to pray with you now, 24 hours a day, as a matter of fact, at the other end of 866-899-WORD. Maybe you've heard that before and you've never jotted it down or stored it in your cell. I'll slow down for you. 866-899-9673. We'll connect you with one of us 24 hours a day who would be anxious to pray with you and for you. We'd love to connect with you. Now, today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
We're in the New Testament. You know that God never intends for us to know everything about Him. How could we? Just think about it. Is there ever a time at which you and I can ever know everything about God? How could we? We are just people, created in His image, indwelt by His Spirit, saved, set apart. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But we'll never know God until we see Him face to face. Then we shall know. We only know in part. We see through a glass dimly. But we're going to give it a jolly good effort, aren't we? And guess what, folks? The Spirit of God's going to help us. That's what He does. God, by His Spirit, lives in us. And the Spirit of God guides us into His truth. So you depend on God's Spirit right now. You ask the Lord to give you a very special understanding. Ask the Lord to speak to you. He's going to do it. I promise you that. And you will be blessed. I'm going to invite you today to open your Bibles to Luke's Gospel and chapter 1. Luke's Gospel and chapter 1. In our journey through the story, as we journey through the Bible, we have reached the beginning of the New Testament. We've had a wonderful journey. And here in the New Testament, in three of the Gospels, we have the wonderful story about the birth of the Lord Jesus. This is the Christmas story. This is the greatest story ever told. You see, today I can stand here and share the Christmas story with you. It's a wonderful story, and it's the central story. The birth of Jesus is what this is all about. But what God did here in the pages of His book, this story, is He gives us, as He always does, a picture of ourselves. There's an upper story and there's a lower story. Where do we fit into this? How do we measure into the birth of the Lord Jesus? And God showed me something. I'm going to speak to you this morning for a few moments about the first family. I want you to think about that. The first family. Did you know, by the way, that everything in the story is a picture of how we relate to God? It's a picture of what God gives to us, what God does for us. We are right here. And today I'm going to show you something that's very, very precious. It's a picture of the first family. There's a mommy and a daddy. There's a little baby boy. Any further questions? I want to read a few verses to you. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. This is what the Bible says. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now may the Lord really write that word in our hearts, and may God the Spirit show us things that we need to know. Give us a picture of ourselves. I want to speak to you today in the light of the birth of the Lord Jesus about the first family. What happened in this dramatic event, this beginning of all beginnings, this new beginning, was too wonderful to describe. Generations since then have celebrated this great season, this event, the birth of Jesus. Every year I go there to Bethlehem. Every year, take lots of our people, and it's just dramatic. It's unbelievable. One of my favorite places, just to be right there, and then to go to Nazareth and to walk those streets and to stand in those places and just to be around. We go in Nazareth to the place, the actual place where this happened, where the angel came. I've stood there many times, right there in those caves where they lived, and I've read from this passage. It's real, it's alive, it's dramatic, it's fantastic. But today I want to give you a picture of the first family. It's an amazing thing that God, right at the very beginning of this new life, would do so in the context of a family. I've asked myself, what is this about? And this wonderful story tells us about a number of things concerning this first family. And I really believe that what God is trying to show us is something about ourselves and our own families. And today, as we worship the Lord, God is going to speak to a father's heart. God's going to speak to a sweet mother, to a son, to a daughter. God's going to speak to a family. Get ready for this. God's going to show you something, because this wonderful story tells us, number one, about wonderful love. If you were to say to me, "Well, Pastor, this, the birth of Jesus, the first family, what is it all about?" It's about wonderful love. Really, this is the expression of John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have eternal life." And the context in which this love is expressed through the birth of Jesus, God's Son, is the wonderful love of God. There's no greater picture of love than in a family. And if that love has been severed, marred, do something about it. If you are living out of fellowship in your family circle. Stop short of nothing to reconcile. Some of you haven't spoken to your sons and daughters in years, to your parents. Some are carrying deep grievances. When God instituted the greatest love of all, He put it in the context of this first family. Gave us a picture of how this love expresses itself through the family. Story tells us second about chosen parents. You know, I love this account. We've heard it so many times. Luke chapter 1 verse 27. We find a mommy's name who is Mary and a daddy's name who is Joseph. I don't believe that God does things by accident. Your betrothal and marriage to that person that you love is a very deep spiritual thing. If you're a young person today, worshiping with us perhaps in Genesis or right here in the sanctuary, or perhaps you've stopped for a minute and you're worshiping by way of television, or you're on a live stream, or you're in some foreign country, and you're beginning to catch the eye of someone, be very careful, because God doesn't play games when it comes to this issue of mommies and daddies. It's something rather remarkable. Why Mary and why Joseph? Why you? Why me? Of all the people in the world. Surely right throughout the fabric of their life together as husband and wife, notwithstanding Jesus, there ought to be wonder and amazement that God would have chosen us to be parents. I take that very seriously. I've often said to the ministry team of this great church, because I know this whole church believes that. We believe, you believe, that our families come before the church. Jesus first, family second, church third. You and I can gain all the fame and the fortune and the accolades of the world, but if we lose our family, what then? This past week, another great man fell from grace that Steve and I know. Someone held in high esteem, someone known roundly. What does it mean to be chosen as parents? Where does that leave children? These are difficult questions, aren't they? They're tough ones. They're the ones that we don't want to address. There's something rather unique about Mary and about Joseph. This wonderful story tells us, number three, about miracle conception. Chapter 1 and verse 28, and we know that, and I'm not here to speak to you today about the virgin birth. This incredible thing that happened. But I am here today to tell you that this picture of the first family reminds us that the fact that God gives us a man and a woman an opportunity to love together, to be chosen to be parents, to produce a life, what a miracle.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton on the Friday edition of The Encouraging Word, and he's got so much more to come in this message. That was just number five. There's more to come. And when we think about that godly mentor, I would want to challenge you, like Dr. Wilton challenges me. He says, Britt, when you pause, and he insists I pause, remind each of us that we are not in this struggle alone. God has built us for community. That's what the church is all about, leaning into each other, being able to have a 2 a.m. friend. You need to know we're here for you. We'd love to be that 2 a.m. friend, to be praying for you at the other end of 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. But we're also very interested in connecting you to community. One of our core values is the idea of helping you, if we are far from you, physically, help you find a local church that is near to you, preferably within the first two or three zip codes of where you are, that will reach out to you, love you, and give you an opportunity to show your love towards that church as well, to get involved, to find your sweet spot, as Dr. Don would say, of your Christian service. Again, the phone number, 866-899-9673, will connect you with us 24 hours a day. If you're having trouble finding a church, Let us help you. We have a wonderful set of resources literally across the nation and around the world that could help you get connected. 866-899-9673 or visit us online at theencouragingword.org. Now back to today's message, The Story with Dr. Don Wilton.
That's why life begins at conception, because it's God's life. This miracle of birth brings into question what we're doing with it. It questions deeply the clarion cry of we, the American people, to demand our own rights and to do whatever it is that we see fit with our own bodies. This whole issue of conception, life, the life of Christ. Mommies are precious people, man. We love you, mothers. We don't reserve that just for Mother's Day. She was a precious mother. Perhaps one of my favorite verses here in chapter 1 is verse 38. Mary said, "Let it be to me according to your word." Doesn't that sound like Mama? This is a picture of a righteous father, a righteous father. Matthew's account in chapter 1 and verse 19 tells us very clearly, in the aftershock, when the tremor reached the soles of his feet, this man who was betrothed to this beautiful young girl, she was probably 14, 15 years of age, not even officially in our mind married, and yet back in those days the betrothal was in essence marriage. But this horrendous violation, this zone of uncomfortableness, this thing that would have rocked his whole world, that would have brought down on his household and his name untold disgrace, this righteous man acted accordingly to the Spirit of God's grace which dwelt in him. What a great picture of a Christian dad. Picture of a man who had every right to flex his muscle, to call the shots, to establish a legacy, to let his world know about where he would or would not draw the line. This man whose responsibility it was to retain the honor and the integrity of the family heritage. And yet this man within that shocking context was a righteous man, which means that the righteousness of God dwelt in him so richly that it overran all his human tendency and inclination and caused him to respond as a man speaking from the heart of God himself. My wife has always had a cute phrase. I grew up in an all-boys family. She grew up in an all-girls family. When we got married, it was a rude awakening. I didn't know you had to sit down at a table to eat. I didn't know at birthday times you actually sat down and opened presents and blew out candles. To me, it was just one good slap on the back. Let's get the surfboards and get on with life. My household looked like the Buckley household. I mean, we were real men. And my wife, she would always talk to me about other people. She'd say, "Oh, he's a girl daddy." A girl daddy? You know, I've come to understand that I think a good dose of the righteousness of God in my heart helps me to be a lot more of a girl daddy. Because girl daddies speak from their heart, not from their heads. This wonderful story, it's about the first family. Look at them. Wonderful love, chosen parents, miraculous conception, precious mother, righteous father. Number 6, godly mentor. Do you know that the Bible says in verse 39 that Mary did something? She went straight to Elizabeth. Don't you thank God for mentors? One of the greatest things that I love about my wife and our ladies' ministries at our church is the mentoring system. Even as I speak, there's a great program of interactiveness that's being set up. I'm challenging some of you older ladies. I'm going to ask you why you are not being Elizabeths. this mentoring system. It's amazing that Mary went to Elizabeth. Look what came out of it, that interrelatedness. To me, I see the tremendous need for women to be around women, for a mother to be around a mother who's been there, done that. You have so much to give. Just look at her life. This is a picture. This first family gives us a picture of a godly mentor. This first family, this wonderful story gives us a picture of spiritual ambitions. When you get down from verse 50 through 55, this beautiful praise, this Magnificat, the Song of Mary contains within its content the ambitions that are embedded in the heart of a mother. It's a beautiful picture of this first family. It's just amazing. It's amazing how, of all people, sweet, precious little mothers can look at what appears at the best of times to be a brand new drowned rat that's arrived into the family and say, oh, look at him, look at her. She looks like this, and I can see this, and I know that. But what goes on in a mother's heart is deep in her heart. There's an ambition there. There's a plan. There's a purpose. I want my daughter to grow up strong. I can see her. I can see her going to school. I can see her. I can see her falling in love with her knight in shining armor and that beautiful wedding. And I can see my grandchildren from her. And I can see this, and I can see the influence of my son. And I pray for that. I pray that my son, my daughter, would grow up and be strong and productive, and that they would stay true to the Word of God, and that they would become real men and women of God. Don't ever give up on your spiritual ambition for your children. This is a beautiful picture, this first family, because this wonderful story tells us about, number eight, parental protection. Parental protection. It's amazing in Matthew's account how they heard about Herod. You know, when they heard about Herod, this mommy and daddy, you know what they did? They protected their little baby. Isn't that a great picture of this first family? That's what parents do. Beautiful picture. It's a picture of parents doing whatever it takes to keep that precious little life out of harm's way. But this is a beautiful picture. This first family, and this is my favorite point, it's a beautiful picture of obedient dedication. Just 1 year old. Do you know what happened? Did you know, by the way, what happened? Did you know that the Bible says, right there in chapter 2, it's all written down for us, of Luke's gospel, the Bible tells us in verse 22, when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him in the temple. This first family, there was no question about their obedient dedication. And this picture of dedication that we see in this passage is just marvelous. Because this whole account shows them bringing their baby. By the way, babies don't bring themselves. It's not going to happen, mom and dad, unless you do it. And this was Jesus. Is there anybody here who would like to suggest that Jesus needed to be dedicated to God? He was God. So why was Jesus dedicated? By the way, where was he dedicated? Down at the lake? Back in their home? No, in the temple. And what happened? The pastor was there. His name was Simeon. Pastors are not an accident. They're appointed by God. It's part of God's plan. It's a beautiful picture. And something happened when they brought this child and they presented him to Simeon, and Simeon took the baby. Some of you might have noticed that most times I take the baby. Sometimes it's just for a minute before I hand him or her back. And sometimes I just lay my hand on the baby. You know, we don't know what time of day it is for them, or whether they're teething or whether they're going. We know that. They're the babies. We're the big people. I don't want to place overly an emphasis on anything unnecessarily, excepting just simply to say to you, they brought the baby. And Simeon, right here in this passage, it's written right there, he took that baby. And what did he do first of all? He blessed mommy and daddy. Because actually, dedicating a baby obediently to God, as was Jesus, is an act of dedication on the part of the parent.
Oh, our time is just about gone, but what a powerful truth about what it is to be obedient when God stirs in our hearts to do something, whether it's as simple as bringing the baby or maybe it's more complicated. Maybe there's steps that you need to take that will have grave consequences because of what you know God is calling you to do. Don't step out in that faith alone. Know this, God is with you and for you. He's promised never to leave you or forsake you. That's the first assurance. But we would like to also step in and be one of those that would be your prayer support, your prayer partner. At the other end of 866-899-WORD, you'll always find someone happy to listen, to speak to you, to pray with you. That's 866-899-9673. And if you'd prefer to go keyboard to keyboard, we'll do that as well on our website at theencouragingword.org. Now, before we get away, Dr. Wilton has a couple of thoughts left, but this could be the most important few sentences our pastor is going to share with us all day today.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If the Lord has spoken to you through our pastor, Dr. Wilton, today, and God has started something new in you, a new rededication to Christ, a new walk, saying yes to Jesus for the first time, oh, we have tremendous resources to put in your hands if you'll call 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-WORD. 9673, or if you'd rather, meet us on our website, theencouragingword.org. We have resources that literally will help you build on the decisions you're making today, and let us be a part of the support system in your life. Again, 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. And just want to say thanks again. Each and every day, more are saying we want to be prayer supporters and financial supporters of The Encouraging Word, and we are very grateful.
I thank God for Dr. Don. I remember back in 2002, my dad Boyce Canup called me and told me, while listening to Don preach, he gave his heart to God. Then he wrote Don a letter, and Don read it in the service. I prayed for 20 years for my dad. I thank you, Dr. Don, for doing God's will. My dad always wanted to meet you, but his health would not let him get out. He passed away 3 years ago, and he watched Don preach every weekend.